Allison Rosen. Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Monday, I sat down with Joe Rogan's right-hand man, Brian Redband, and we talked about how he started Death Squad, growing up in Ohio, and romance.
I was hanging out with this really young girl, and she was like, you know, I want to do Molly. And I was like, I've only done it once before. You know, I'm an old man. I don't know if I want to do this. So anyways, we do it. It turned out to be awesome. And, you know, especially when you're on having sex and stuff like that, you can't really feel your body. You're going crazy with each other. So I went down at her, you know, from behind. I was eating her ass, and she couldn't feel her butt, so she just shit in my mouth.
Oh, my God! And then on Thursday, I was joined by Matt, Gary, and Jenna. And because Chris Loxamana couldn't be there, we talked all about him. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Today's Adam and Dr. Drew show is sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote today, call 1-866-347-5748 or visit their website at smartterm.com. They'll compare premiums of highly rated insurers to help you save. Call now, 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information we found at smartterm.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for supporting us. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. People say Turkey Day now, which feels sophomoric and sort of meh. And then I remember, and then I had this thought where, hey, happy Turkey Day, where I thought, oh, please, I hope this is not some politically correct bullshit where they don't want to say there's religious overtones or whatever. I never intended to be that. What I'm saying is I understand that the Christmas party must be turned into the holiday party now because we know how uppity the Jews can get.
Oh, it's not just the Jews.
Well, that's of course. The Jews don't give a fuck. They're too busy raising their family, excelling, getting accepted into Stanford, making money. To give a fuck about any of this stuff. It's just the groups that aren't doing as well that seem to give a fuck. But either way, the atheists, the whoever. I've been an atheist my whole life. I like Christmas.
You're too angry to start. You're starting angry. Finish all your business. Talk about the Hooters show in Sacramento.
I like Christmas. I'm an atheist.
I know, and
I like Christmas.
I know. As a commercial holiday, I like it. Right?
Well,
as a national event.
Dig. I'm an atheist, and I'm the most realistic, pragmatic person in the world. I don't go to fucking Disneyland and demand they rip down Space Mountain or Captain EO. That mountain doesn't really go to outer space.
Yeah.
This small world, these are nothing but animatronic elves. It's fantasy. It's fine.
It's fun.
It's for the kids.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about the kids enjoying themselves.
It's jovial and giving and love and all that.
And the kids think there's a guy with a beard who's coming down the chimney.
Yeah, it's pleasant.
It's not about you, dick. It's about the fucking kids, asshole. Narcissistic fucking sack of pricks.
What got you so out of...
I'm just fucking tired of everybody. All right,
like
Hooters.
Okay, go.
Hooters Santa Monica that is coming up this Sunday, 4:30. Christy Elliott is going to be there. Or D'Elia.
He spells Chris D'Elia?
He spells it's the D-E that always screws me up.
He's a good guy.
Great guy. And funny, too. Hooters shows are free. So come on down. Mangria's going to be flowing.
Whoa.
Also, Sacramento Crest Theater and Fresno Tower Theater coming up on December 7th, December 8th. Come say hi. That is the podcast, the live podcast.
And you can hear us.
You can hear us. You can subscribe. Via the PayPal button, put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship, and
it's holiday season.
Click through the Amazon. It's Christmas season.
Holidays. Okay.
Yeah. And so, did the Turkey Day replace Thanksgiving because of the politically correct assholes that are trying to ruin my life?
So, do you know the history of Thanksgiving? I'm not sure I can recount it exactly, but
that's something to do with the Pilgrims and the Indians thing.
Do you know who decided we needed a national day of Thanksgiving?
Oh, you mean what?
Where it came
what
from?
President?
Who decided? Yeah, this was going to be a.
Oh, Roosevelt.
No, Lincoln.
Oh, well, it goes back a little bit.
Yeah,
and the Thanksgiving, allegedly or whatever, the sitting down with the Indians
really
and having
sort
the dinner,
of more the end of the Civil War. Like, let's get it together.
No, but I mean the story itself.
Yes,
is it from the 17 or the 16.
If you go out to Plymouth, there's some sort of they try to sort of brush by these sorts of meals that people had with the Indians. There was no sort of
but the
moment.
Date was supposed to be.
Nah, the date was something that Lincoln just sort of. I had
no. The date of the sitting down with the goddamn Indians, Drew, was supposed to be when the time period.
Oh, the year. It's again. You go to. I've been there.
Just
it's,
spit out a time.
1650.
Okay, thank you.
Yes,
that
only
took 1621.
1621. That only took fucking 10 minutes. All right.
Well, because it didn't happen as a thing. That's
no, I know. I said, look. I started by saying happen, maybe it didn't happen, but the Pilgrims and the Indians, when did they sit down? Well, they brushed by it. When did it happen? Well, it's my fifth time I've asked you.
All right.
16-something. So what I'm saying is Lincoln took 250 years off.
Yeah, and arbitrarily sucked it a day. I forget there was a reason for that day.
So that's a long stretch with no Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was a bunch of guys sitting around on the last Thursday of November going, like in 1782.
We need a holiday here.
No, just going, I fucking wish I had some turkey. I do too. Why? It's weird. We never eat turkey. So Lincoln brings it back.
Chris, are you looking it up right now? You looking up the history?
One of my favorite holidays because it's all about the food.
And it's arbitrary. It's just family and food. You know,
it's family, family
and
food.
Hang out. Now, why did he pick that date, Chris? Any idea? Why the last Thursday, November?
Family. Well, I think what he did is he did a reverse engineering on Black Friday. Every day used to be Black Friday in Lincoln's administration, then he freed
it. It was an attempt to foster a sense of American unity between the northern and southern states. So he just picked that day.
He just picked it. Wasn't there some legislation that I think there was something happened, like something good was going down, and they said, let's make that a national day of Thanksgiving.
Mm. Tomorrow, by the way, special Black Friday episode. It's all your favorite black guests from the Adam Carolla Show. Best of. Don't you like that?
It's racist.
Oh, no.
Oh.
They like that kind of humor. Mm-hmm. Now, where were we? Yes, me and Dr. Drew, volume one of us live, Santa Barbara, Denver, Bakersfield, hopscotching the country, everybody. Only $4.99 available on iTunes. And, of course,
someday
you can also get it at adamcarolla.com.
Yes. So someday in the not-too-distant future in a far-off land, we'll get volume two.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Chris?
It's coming. It's a busy man.
Yeah.
All right. So I like Thanksgiving. As a kid, I loved Thanksgiving because
you eat.
I could eat.
Right.
And there were.
Well, of course, your family would toss down a can of cranberry with the can still formed into the jelly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
even Thanksgiving was traumatizing for you.
The notion. Oh, no. The notion of somebody firing up the oven. And, first thing first, we had to open the oven and kick out the family raccoons that were living in there. Go on, get! And the idea that somebody would fire up that oven and put a turkey in it, and then we'd finish.
Would your mom do that?
Were
they just good on Ralph's and, or the, excuse me, the mission and grab a turkey?
Here's what we would do. It doesn't appear to be clear why it's Thursday, by the way. Right. They can't distinguish it. But anyway, it's a funny thing if you want to know the Carollas have brought up a time or two, but it bears repeating because I had these thoughts the other day when I was thinking about my grandmother. I used to go. It started this way. My mom would nothing. I don't think my mom would ever do anything. My grandparents would do something, and we'd go over to my grandparents'
coming
house.
Coming into focus slowly,
and sit at the little table.
Who cooked, Grandpa?
I think Grandma could cook, but she just
who did cook?
Well, here's the thing, and I've said it many times, and I fucking mean it, and, you know, there's no problem with this. There's zero problem with this, and I've said it a fucking zillion times. My grandmother worked every day. She worked 5 days a week. She worked for the Veterans Administration in Westwood, and she just clearly didn't want to do it. She carpooled with a dude who had a mini truck who liked to listen to country and Western music, you know, clearly politically way off. You know, she wanted to talk about dance and, you know, smoke colored cigarettes and things like that.
Why did she drive herself?
I
okay, yeah.
Cheap, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Mandate from the whatever traffic. Yeah. I don't know. But they carpooled. And she, my grandmother, did not like the fact that every morning at 7:15 she would have to get up. This guy in his mini pickup truck would come pick her up at 8:15, and they would sit in traffic up the 405 and then down the 405 and eventually end up at the VA in Westwood, where she would put in an 8 or 9 hour day, and then she'd jump back into the fucking shitty pickup truck and get dropped off at 6 o'clock at night. It just, she never came home. Like, she didn't loathe her work. But she never came home excited, you know. Woo, you guess what I got accomplished today.
And she did bring up the rim job.
Always, she did. Always look forward to her vacation days and all that, right? Point is this. She worked. She got up and worked all day. And my grandfather did not work. And it was very clear, and it was super clear to me as a seven-year-old, that Grandpa could not spend the day watching TV. That was unfair. Why Grandma had to get up early in the morning and go somewhere she didn't want to go so she could put food on the table and pay the electrical bills and pay the mortgage, you know? Meanwhile, it was very well understood that Grandpa needed to stay busy all day. And whether he was fixing the sprinklers, mm-hmm. trying to save a few bucks, he wouldn't open the phone book and get a plumber out there. Yeah. He'd be out there sort of not quite up to handyman status, but he was a guy who'd go for it, you know?
Yeah.
He's fixing the sprinklers. He's doing the laundry. He's shopping. And when she walked through that door, the fucking dinner was out on the table. And was Grandma cooking? Fuck no, Grandma wasn't cooking. Did Grandpa call Grandma at work and say, hey, by the way, on your way home, could you have the guy in the mini pickup truck swing by and grab some Chinese? Fuck no. No fucking way. She would have screamed at him. What are you talking about? I'm at work. Go to the fucking supermarket and make dinner and have it ready for me when I come home.
Different time.
No. It was completely and utterly understood. And there was no reason to hire a cook or a plumber, even for the sprinklers, we didn't have to hire a cleaning person. Why do you need a cleaning person? You had an able-bodied grandpa home all day.
No kids.
No kids to take care of.
Yeah.
He's the guy's going to push that fucking broom around that house, and that he did. And it was understood. And I think would have asked my grandfather, would you like to swap positions with your wife? Would you like to get up and head to Westwood with the guy in the mini pickup truck and sit in the VA all day? He would have said, fuck no, I'm happy being here. Because at noon, he would make himself a sandwich. He'd pull it up and sit in front of the TV set and he'd watch Match Game or whatever else. And then he'd go about his business. He wasn't running around scared all day, but he was going along at a leisurely clip. He wouldn't be sleeping while she got up in the morning, got dressed, and went to work. He was up with her, even if it was symbolic. And when she got home, a fucking dinner was waiting. It was understood. Made sense to everyone around. And if he'd announced, I'm just going to take a couple afternoons off, you can go to work, that would have been considered outrageous. And it would have been considered him taking advantage of her. Now, why doesn't hold true the other way around in 2013, Drew?
Kids.
Forget the kids. There's nannies and they're at school all day. What else? Or let's say, forget the kids. There's no kids anymore. Your kids are gone. We've changed as a society. So that's you're scared to talk, obviously. So you're pussy whipped, but we've changed as a society. Would it have helped my grandfather if a bunch of his friends jumped in and said, don't, sit down, go to the gym.
Don't let her do that to you.
Chill out and let her pick up some Chinese food on the way home. Would that have helped him? Would he have been a better person?
What if he were to
say, right. You know what the answer is, right? Do you know what the answer is? Obviously, no. My grandfather felt fulfilled. He worked all day, and he was proud to have dinner on the table when the poor woman who went to her shitty job in Westwood came through the door sort of beleaguered. He felt good. And by the way, if the fucking roast wasn't ready and she was coming home in 10 minutes, he was in a little bit of a panic about it. Should he have just cruised through the day? Thank you. Jimmy Pardo?
Yes, hello, sir.
Good to speak to you, my friend.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I find it ironic because the fifth annual podcast-a-thon, and it's a fundraiser, Jimmy Pardo is going to be involved with. Jimmy's lost his voice.
Oh, no.
This is the best I've sounded in 4 days, and I'm sad that I can't be there with you guys. Drew, I have something called sinusitis. You're probably familiar with that.
Yep, just an infection of the sinus.
They put me on something called an antibiotic. Is that a medicine you're familiar with?
Let me explain something. That's where the cum goes up the nose and causes an infection.
Yes. Yeah,
why did this have to go gay? Why did it have to go
it didn't
experimental?
Have to, it's just funnier. So if you actually you suck
you're
it into your lung,
face.
You can get infected, especially
that's
if the guy's hepatitis.
Oh,
sorry. By the way, it's a 12-hour marathon webcast. It is tomorrow, November 29th.
No, Friday. Oh, tomorrow. You're right. I'm sorry.
There was a beat, Jimmy, where I thought he's going to correct me, and then I thought, oh, no, he's been podcasting for 26 years. He understands.
Trust me. I'm going to not sleep tonight because of what just happened.
Right. I've lost all respect for you. That's why I said November 29th. Tomorrow, November 29th at noon, and you can stream it at podcast.com. Zach Galifianakis, Patton Oswalt, Andy Richter, and more. All stopping by, and it's to raise money for a very worthy cause. It's called Smile Train, children's charity to repair not only cleft palates but cleft lips as well. I always hear about the palates. I don't hear about the lips. I got to get a publicist.
It's the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. All right. Jimmy, so you're not feeling well, but other than that, how are you doing?
I'm doing great otherwise. You know what it's like when you put together an event like this. You just spend every second of the day ramping up to it. You were kind enough to join us a few years ago on this thing.
I didn't remember.
Over there at the Acme Theater. You may or may not have been drunk.
Yes, the Acme Theater. I know it well.
Yeah. You came by and you talked about a bench for about 45 minutes.
I built, to be fair to me, it was 38 minutes.
Well, I don't know. Felt like 45.
I know. But I put it on a clock, and it was 38 minutes.
Right.
I don't know why the little things in life mean a lot, but the benches that are at the Acme Theater, which is now on La Brea, were the benches that I built for the Acme Theater that I did build that was on in Lancashire.
Wow.
Lancashire or Tahunga or something. Lancashire, NoHo. 20 years ago.
Wow.
And the fact that they're still sort of there today, and when I walk past them, I just go, oh, I built those benches. It feels good.
I bet.
It doesn't feel good to anyone else.
But how many years ago? 20 years ago?
Well, it literally would have been like 1991, 92.
20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the first Acme Theater, which is still there on Lancashire in NoHo, I built that theater in probably 92.
Wow.
So you've built a lot more of that theater. Why is it, Adam, and I'm glad I'm interviewing you about this because I didn't hear enough about that bench that night. Why is it specifically the bench? Because that's the only thing that's left of what you built?
I don't know. I think there's something. I think it's why guys like building rocking chairs. And things like picnic tables and stuff like that, because it's in a world of video games and YouTube where nothing is finite. I mean,
it's durable.
It just is there. It's everything is just sort of up in the ether.
Isn't the bench and I'm not insulting here. I can't do anything. Isn't the bench? Isn't that would be Woodshop 101? Isn't a bench simple?
It is. You know. It's pretty straightforward, but the fact that these things have been having multitudes of drunken, heavyset people sitting on them for over 20 years and still look basically like they did 20 years ago is a testament to my building ability.
Or did you use solid wood? Can we put it on the lumber?
I used a good grade of wood,
as they
call it, dimensional lumber.
Ooh,
Dr. Drew.
Dimensional.
Not
like
not
substantial.
No, not plywood, not oriented strand board.
Ooh.
Not Paralamps.
You ever use balsa? You're a guy that uses wood. You ever use balsa wood?
No need to use balsa wood unless you're building a model airplane.
I was just going to say, except for a plane, right? That would be it.
Right. It's, oh, hey, there were planes. There's a plane called the Mosquito that helped win World War II that was made out of wood in Britain.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Pardo, sorry. How many years have you been doing this? I know I ask this all the time, but you were doing a podcast 2 years before I think I was, at least.
I don't know. You were doing you would do your radio show and turn that into a podcast, I think, around the same time that we started. We started in March of 2006.
Wow.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. See, Jimmy always explains that my radio show, since it was being consumed and streamed online, was essentially a podcast while I was doing a radio show, meaning my theory was this, but Jimmy, I'd be interested in hearing your theory or what you think of my theory. Dr. Drew and I, at a certain point, were on in 120 markets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to morning radio, and I went from 120 markets to 7 markets. Eventually, maybe we built up to 13 or 14, but it wasn't 120.
Right.
And there's a bunch of places like Chicago and Boston, places we were very big in, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
They didn't have me anymore.
Yeah.
So I think they went to their computer to stream my morning show so as not
it's
to
different
miss
than podcasting, though.
Me. No, oh, but I've always thought of it as different than podcasting, but I believe it's Jimmy who says, no, it's basically the same thing.
Similar.
You go to your... Go to your computer and listen to the guy talk.
You know what? I do say that. I when we started my thing, Never Not Funny, I wanted it to be good morning radio.
Right.
And where people could listen to it anytime they wanted to. And so in that regard, yes, somebody that's a fan of an Adam Carolla who doesn't get his morning show anymore because I think they put David Lee Roth on or some stupid jackass in Chicago. That's not a bad mouth. And they put some David Lee Roth's not the jackass. Somebody else is.
Sure.
So yeah, they go to the computer and then like I'm listening to Phil Hendry like crazy lately.
Love him.
Because he's not on here in LA, but I get to listen to his podcast.
Oh,
right. But is his podcast his radio show?
It's his radio show. Yeah.
Right.
He just
so
turns the,
that,
you know,
I appreciate you trying to shit on my point, Drew, but what I'm saying
would
is
you load yours up or you could go download it whenever you wanted?
I don't know back then if they would have to stream it or they could capture it.
Yeah.
Back then they could you could go to iTunes and you could grab like I forget wait, what station were you on here in town?
KLSX.
Yeah, like KLSX. Yeah, I can't even.
The
talk,
website
so
would have
worse.
It up and you just
right.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd
okay.
have it up. You download
right.
it to your iPod.
I'm shitting on my point.
So there it is. Okay.
So in a weird way, I've been podcasting since 06 or whenever we started. Jimmy, I'm going to let you save your voice, but I'm going to let everyone know that they can shoot you a tweet over at Never Not Funny. I'm overdue to be a guest on your show, so whenever...
Love to have you back anytime. Drew, you're welcome anytime as well.
Thanks,
like
Jimmy.
To do that. And again, the podcast tomorrow, November 29th at noon. You can stream it at podcast.com. Always good to talk to you, Jimmy. Rest your voice.
Will do, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
We'll
I appreciate
talk
it.
Soon.
Hey, before we go on, I'll remind people about our buddies at GoToMeeting.
Mm.
It is the holiday time, and it's going to be... Bad weather in lots of the country, including here, matter of fact. Getting everyone together around holidays, bad weather can be really tough, but does not mean the business stops. Our buddies at GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to share screens, work together on documents, spreadsheets, and projects in real time, and use your webcams to have meetings in HD video conference. Start hosting a meeting in seconds from your Mac, PC, smartphone, or tablet by signing up for a free 30-day trial. No credit card required. As Adam said... says, GoToMeeting, baby. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the try it free button, and use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Adam.
All right, so Drew, I'm going to walk you through my progression of Thanksgivings.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then I'm going to give you 30 seconds to explain how your family celebrated.
Thank you for that. I appreciate
Thanksgiving.
That. Well, but
could
you,
be 28.
Are you
going
to talk about the traumatic aspects of any
no,
given
No, I'm just going to break it down. We went to my grandparents' house, and they made dinner.
Yeah.
My grandmother could cook,
okay,
and on occasion liked to cook.
Okay.
And that's there's a nuts and bolts of cooking, which is day to day. Where's dinner? Where's lunch?
Right.
And then there's a enjoyable part of cooking. Right. She liked the enjoyable part of cooking. Yeah. The nuts and bolts was left up to Grandpa.
Yeah.
So they made Thanksgiving, and I literally would pace around the kitchen, sort of going, "When's the turkey?" When, you know, and they go, "It's, you know, it's 2:15. It's going to be not till 4 o'clock." You know, and I'd be, "Well, could we taste some of the mashed potatoes? You know, what's going on?" You know, I mean, it was such a crazy novelty to me to have big turkeys and pies,
lots
and I love mashed potatoes, yeah, and this whole sort of bounty put out in front of me. I was crazed. I was nuts for it. And it created this, it's more than an anxiety. It was a sort of an obsession, you know? So that was huge. We'd sit at the kids' table with my cousin Greg and so on and so forth. That was good. Then at a certain point.
Cousin Greg, that's a new player.
Oh, he's been around. You've brought his name up a few times.
No,
yes,
no.
Vince and Pat and
Vince
Greg.
Vince and Pat, but not Greg.
I've brought
all right,
his
name. All right.
Good guy.
What's he doing now?
Real estate in Simi Valley. And then at some point, we broke up the whole thing, and I started doing Thanksgiving with my dad and stepmom, Lynn.
Was that depressing? That it was broken up?
Nah, I don't. I just, it was always, and my mom would go out to dinner, I think. And my dad and my stepmom and sister and whatever do it over at my dad's house. Then there was some Vince and Pat Bruno cousins from Santa Monica. There
That's
was a couple.
Than Greg,
they're the son.
Get Greg for my podcast, by the way, Gary.
Yeah,
book that.
They're
I'm gonna get his view of the Corolla Thanksgiving.
He's the son, and back and forth over there a couple of times. That's the one where I started bringing my own cranberry at a certain point because I just I couldn't take the canned shit. But then now my grandmothers, I've always laughed about. She would go to the Brooks house. There were a Jewish psychologist family. She loved intellectuals.
Yeah.
I think she loved Jews, intellectuals, and if you could come from a different country, that was
especially Eastern Europe.
That was as high up on the pecking
communist
order she could get.
Communist country, that's the top of the heap.
Right. So she'd go, she'd slum it with a socialist every once in a while. But that was her thing, you know. And at a certain point, I got my own house and my own family and my own traditions. And for maybe the last 10 years, we've been kind of doing it at my place because I got the bigger house and I got the money. And everyone just sort of gathers up at my place. My grandmother had made the commitment to the Brooks family. These are friends of hers.
Right.
Nice enough. They live much further away. And as I've said before, I never thought about it because my family's such a fucking mess. But at a certain point, Lynette's father, who was born in Italy, and normal... said to me, from the mouth of babes.
When was this?
Like 72-year-old babes.
It's
I don't know. This is like 6 years ago,
yeah.
5 years ago or whatever. We're all at my house, big, beautiful house, the entire family and step family, and there's 22 people.
So
nieces
your mom
and nephews.
And your dad?
My mom and dad, at a certain point, they both got old enough and just went, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
We can be in the same room.
Okay.
We don't talk anyway.
Yeah.
What do we care?
Yeah, yeah.
So for the first 20 years of their divorce or whatever,
no
separation.
Talk.
No talk. Couldn't be.
Yeah.
If you want to go, it worked out nicely because my mom didn't want to go to things and my dad didn't want to go to things anyway. So if there was a chance that someone may be at a football game or a graduation or something.
No chance anybody else would be there.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get confronted in the bleachers of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Anyway. So... no one would ever get confronted, by the way. They just, I think they wanted to stay home, and this is all the excuse they needed. But at a certain point, they got old enough, they just went, fuck it.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, my father-in-law looked at me, and he said, very earnestly, and again, mouth of babes, he said, where's your grandmother? I said, because I'm a Corolla, she's with the Brooks family, the Jewish family from Huntington Beach. well, why isn't she here? I said, oh, no, she she never, she goes to the Brooks' house. Doesn't she want to be with her family? I said, no, she's, well, I don't know. She doesn't, she goes to the Brooks' house. Do they,
did you, at any moment during that conversation, did you go, doing?
Well, at a certain point, he said, is she helping them or something like that? Are they elderly or something? I said, no, they're younger. They're fine. They have their kids back from college kind of thing. She said, he said, her daughter and her grandkids and her great grandkids and the entire family is under one roof, and she wants to go to Redondo Beach with the Brooks family. And I was like, oh yeah.
And wasn't even, oh yeah, I was like, whoosh, right, and into focus. Yeah, it's Corolla.
And at that point,
in fact, it's the inciting, it's the spark that from which the Corolla fire bloomed,
right? And it was by the way, at that point, you know, she had two, maybe three Thanksgivings left in her before she would pass away. She was in late 80s, even early 90s.
How many grandkids at that point, or great-grandkids? Six?
She left. I can't remember when she passed away. But at that point, she had decided, if you want to get a head count, she had passed Thanksgiving. And by the way, it's not like, well, it's all right because the following weekend was the big softball game where we all got together. We never saw each other. I mean, not in a group. There'd be some sporadic, you know, my sister's going to go by her house, pay her a visit, maybe bring a kid, maybe not bring a kid. You have five great grandkids at this point. You have two grandchildren and your child, all basically under the same roof. And it's the only gathering of that group that ever happens. It's once a year. It's there. Going to head out to the Brooks family. And her last five Thanksgivings were spent that way. I have no memory of her at any of these parties saying, you know, pass the figgy pudding. Yes, she's the tip of the spear. That's where the Corolla, that's where the edict started. And that's what we are. That's who we are. At our core, we're that person. Do you know anyone else that way?
No.
By the way, no ongoing feuds. It's not like, well, ever since my granddaughter took up with that Schwarza, well, you know, and she married a black guy, and I refuse, you know. Or after the insulting, whatever. No.
Right, it's not about that.
Everyone's on good terms. Yeah. As a matter of fact,
well, I was just
thinking, following week, you might get a call saying, well, can you come by and pay a visit? You know,
I need my wall painted. Right? Wouldn't that be the reason?
Bring Ozzy with you.
Yeah.
A little of that.
I wonder how these dudes that have like multiple pregnant wives around, whether that's the same kind of, you know what I mean?
What dudes?
There's guys.
Polygamous?
No. Wives. I mean, like, who father children of multiple women.
Getting back to the Schwarzes.
Where?
I didn't know what topic we were on. Yeah, you mean
I'm
the guys?
Saying, what are those guys doing Thanksgiving? They just same as your grandma. Like, their kids are having a good time out there. I got to go visit my friends.
To us, it sounds insane. Every once in a while, when, you know, you hear these stories, we talk about it all the time. You know, you're just watching some HLN network.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like that story where, well, she got divorced and she moved to Atlanta and he was left home to raise the 2-year-old and the 7-year-old. And then she met up with this guy and she had another child. And I just look at Lynette and go, could you imagine moving to Atlanta without these two kids? She's like, no, that's insanity.
Yeah, right.
Insanity.
They'd have to tie her up and drug her and drag her there.
She'd be
and she'd come back.
Be claw marks on the hardwood floor. And she would walk back from Atlanta the following day.
Yeah.
She would fucking hitchhike back from Atlanta to get back to her kids.
I mean, from the airport. She wouldn't even, like, get out.
Just walk right out, grab a cab.
Yeah.
And have a $17,000 cab ride that I would pay for. back from Atlanta, but she would explain to me it's a win because we got airline miles out of it. But either way.
Play with credit cards.
Yes. Either way, she would be punching and kicking and screaming the people that were trying to drag her to LAX to put her on a plane in Atlanta. The people that, you know, hey, I met another dude.
Yeah.
And he had a good thing going over there in Atlanta. And we started another family, but I sent some stuffed animals back.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, once you have kids, you realize that when a female does this, there's something severely broken in her.
Well, is either drugs blocking all the instincts or some profound trauma. Profound.
If it is a woman, there's something almost irreparable in her.
Maybe.
If, I'd say almost all the time. Yeah. If it's a male, it's a sort of just amoral narcissist, you know, douche whatever. Bagger, I met a younger chick. I want to get laid. I'm over here now. Yeah. You know, that's kind of a little more in our DNA coding.
A little bit, yeah.
But for a woman, it's a... Now, the guy's still an idiot. But for a woman, that's profound. And, you know, again, I know you can't judge. I know there's no differences between the genders. But the ease, in terms of me, I would not do this. But in terms of what it would take for me to do it versus organically, what it would take for my wife to do it is a 10 versus a 2.5.
Yeah. And not that your version is a slight, an easy thing to do. It's very intense. Just hers is order of magnitude more.
Yeah, it's hers is
off the chart.
It would not be possible for Lynette to do that. There is a scenario where, you know, I'm out of work and I got to go build a pipeline in Alaska and I go for 6 months or I meet a super hot hostess who's 21. But, or, you know, one of those things.
Equal valence.
Yeah, where I have to, you know, move on. I have to go.
You have to ramble.
Right. Well, I am a rambling man.
Certain things cause the rambling, though.
I made it clear in the vows that I was, you know, I had a propensity for rambling. All right, Dan.
Yo. Hey, guys.
30,
hey.
Denver. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, calling back, spoke to you guys last year when you first started the show, you know, prior to it actually becoming the Adam and Drew show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was in the middle of my third round of Hep C treatment. I got it from a tubal pregnancy from my mom. She passed it on to my sister and I.
Mm-hmm.
So drugs ended up failing, Drew. Sucks. And now I've been off, you know, about 8 months and got that word a few months back.
Do you know which genotype are you? Do you know?
1A, toughest one. 1A.
That's usually responsive. How weird, huh?
Well, I was on the Tenofovir combination, the new drugs, and now there's some new studies going on with oral medication. It's about a 3-month program. Try to get in on those trials.
Good.
And had no luck. I didn't meet the requirements, I guess. So now I've got to wait till they're, you know, out on the market for the public. But over the past,
why did you not meet criteria? What happened?
And they don't tell you.
Yeah,
they don't tell you. So, it would have been nice to get all the free medicine, but I guess I'm just gonna have to wait. So my question is, well, my family, I'm Irish. I have a history of alcoholism in my family. And ever since, you know, the failing treatments, my life has just changed a lot. So having a little bit of a problem with alcohol and trying to cope with everything going on in my life. So not feeling like I need to go to a alcohol anonymous per se, but just trying to get some, you know, ideas from you on how to cope with these problems.
Why would you not go to an AA meeting?
Well, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm an alcoholic. I just have these signs in my family, and now I'm just not. I'm not like drinking out of control. I shouldn't be drinking.
But you know, alcoholism is defined by consequence, and for someone with chronic hepatitis C, you know that any alcohol exposure is literally a death sentence.
Yeah,
so
detrimental, say the least.
Because the liver and hepatitis.
Oh, it's a profoundly bad combination, yeah.
Yeah, and I have cirrhosis.
All right, so you know that you're taking poison, and yet you can't stop. And so that, even though it's not out of control, you haven't lost control, you still have a criteria there for alcoholism. You have family history and you have consequences.
Hey, Dan, this is,
yes, sir.
You know, I'm the guy who says moderation, taper back, blah, blah, blah. But hepatitis attacks your liver. You're dumping kerosene on your liver with this alcohol. If that's not a reason, you know, when somebody says, I missed a day of work on Monday, or I was pretty hungover and I couldn't play with the kids, well, that's a, okay, taper it back kind of thing. This is, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
If you know you're destroying your body this way and you can't stop,
it's
that's enough.
Aggressive destruction.
That's enough for me.
Bad, terrible comment. And to make matters worse, should he ever meet criteria or need a liver transplant, they will look askance at that. And go, I'm not sure we're going to waste the liver on this guy that's drinking.
Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a call, and then you tell me about your Thanksgiving over at the Pinsky House.
After the call.
Yeah, back in the day.
It's not that interesting, really.
I didn't assume it was. Anthony, why break your streak now? You know what I mean? So close to the end of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I'm bad 1,000.
All right. Anthony?
Yeah, what's going on, Ace? What's
going on? Calling for Fort Lauderdale, 26.
That's right. I just wanted to give you guys a quick update. On the way to Fort Lauderdale, I was able to keep the shoes on, keep the belt on, keep everything on through the metal detectors from Milwaukee.
Ooh. Was that because new detectors, that you were on the pre-check program?
No pre-check. Just showed up, bought a cheap Southwest ticket, walked right through.
It's a real
Fort Lauderdale. Okay. Fort Lauderdale. Shoes off, belt off, and a dog shit in the security line.
Oh, dog shit in the security line. Wow.
But the reason, on that same note, as I was driving to the airport today, I saw one of your favorite light-up signs on the sides of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, don't drive drowsy. If you snooze, you lose.
I thank you. I confronted Eric Garcetti on this topic
really?
A few weeks ago.
Oh, really? Did he absorb it? Did he like it? Did he react?
Drew, I understand I'm a broken record.
Yeah.
But here's what I did. I was driving the other day. Los Angeles, Steve Martin chronicled it in L.A. Stories.
Yeah.
Los Angeles has these multi-million dollar freeway computer signs.
They were designed to supposedly to move traffic along during the 84 Olympics. That was
that's
the
right.
big
that's
purpose
right.
of
and
it.
And since then, they've been adding them.
Yeah.
So now they're all about.
Yeah.
And, of course, when we used to leave Loveline at midnight and we're traveling along the 10 to hit the 210, if the ramp from the 10 to the 210 was closed, they would never say that.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
On the sign.
No. They would say, watch out for accident in the 60 in Riverside.
Yeah.
An hour away.
Right. They would never tell you that, in which case I would always be incensed because I could get home by simply getting off on La Brea or
any
other street and just cutting across the city. But I just drove, because it was the middle of the night, around in a big half circle, big horseshoe to do fact. But if you're going to close the freeway, it's going to cause problems, and it would just spit you out in watts.
Right.
Now, at some point, I fucking called these people, and I said, hey, would you guys get your shit together? You have a Caltrans crew that is going to be closing down the northbound ramp on the 110 that must be on a calendar somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere there's a calendar.
Well, there's a sign there. It says maybe closed intermittently from May 2012 to June 2014, right? It's on the side of the...
Sometimes it would be, sometimes it wouldn't, but it would always catch us by surprise
always.
When that thing was closed.
Still, by the way, it's still happening.
Right.
Years later, still happening.
Is there a rogue group of Caltrans workers who are like, hey, man, I play by my own rules?
In fact, I dealt with last night. Last
there
night, I had to pick up my daughter at the airport. The tunnels of the Pasadena Freeway,
right,
down to one lane.
Right.
I sat there for half an hour.
Put it on the fucking sign.
Nowhere.
Put it on the sign. All the sign says is click it or ticket, and I was passing under the sign the other day. It said click it or ticket, and then it said $160 fine. And you know what I did?
Took your seatbelt off.
Yes. I took my seatbelt off, and the second I unclicked my seatbelt, there was a deafening chime and a light that flashed on my dashboard. It's in my book, but I swear to God, I think it's 1972 or 1974. Gary can look at. It's a federal mandate. There are codes. Many cars cannot be accepted into this country or into this state of California unless they pass a series of safety things. You can go, look, this car needs to have 5-mile-an-hour bumpers. It needs to have air. You cannot produce a car and go, I don't want it to have airbags.
Yeah.
I don't like airbags. I don't think they're cool. No, you need airbags.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And there's 15,000 other codes that involve your vehicles. One of them, since 1972 or whatever it is a chime that goes off when your seatbelt's not plugged in and a light that illuminates and flashes on your dashboard. One could argue that the thing that's inside of the vehicle is enough.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could do more than a buzzer going off inside your vehicle.
Do people actually drive with that thing going on nonstop?
Well, here's the thing, Drew. If you have decided to drive with the nonstop
ding,
buzzer,
ding,
the
ding,
chime
ding,
going
ding,
off
yeah.
inside your car and the light flashing on your dash, is the illuminated freeway sign going to be enough to get you to change your way?
Forget enough. Is going to be anything.
What? There. First off, I don't know a human being.
If you're that
being,
much of a reptile, are you going to be able to read?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know a human being who doesn't drive without putting on their safety belt.
Are they talking about passengers maybe? But even that, the light goes off. Right?
Yes. I don't know a human being since 1974. So we're now coming up on 30 years. I don't know a human being.
We need a
being.
Click it or ticket campaign.
I don't know.
Isn't that a clever saying? It's so clever. We need to use it.
I don't know a human being who drives without their seatbelt. There are, I do know of, a couple of guys who's like, oh, yeah, my dad doesn't do it. Guess what? He just doesn't. He's old school. Whatever. There's a couple of guys out there. They're like guys who ride motorcycles with no helmet.
They just
or whatever.
Let the thing ring, 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 ring.
No, they put it in behind them and click it into their thing.
Jesus.
But that's like
that's
saying.
A huge effort.
But here's the thing. It's like saying, just say no to drugs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, for that dude who's super hardcore about it.
You're not going to change him.
You can change him. Here's what I ask you, Drew. What percentage of the populace are we breaking through to with this campaign?
The quick calculation, 0.0000000001%, maybe.
Right.
That's worth that dough, worth the money. Worth the electricity on that sign.
Why don't we fucking sell that advertising to Coca-Cola and get some revenue?
I thought of you.
Why don't we fucking say if it steers, it clears?
Well,
you can
I saw
pull
that
the fuck
one.
Over.
I saw that two nights ago.
Where?
Lane 2, one in from the fast lane. Little fender bender, two women out of their cars, standing between their vehicles.
Safest place you can be.
Or when the person smashes
outside
into
your mother's womb.
When the guy behind them smashes into the rear ends of the car and amputates these women when the cars collide, which was going to happen. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And the cars were running with a little dents in the front.
First off, I've done the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix 4 times. I've seen cars T-bone other cars, mash into other cars, bumpers dragging, steam shooting up from the radiator, fenders caved in and grinding away at the tires. I mean, grinding. Mm-hmm. I mean, hard racing collisions, sliding into the tire barrier backwards at 60 miles an hour, bumper shoved in and caved in. Fucking first gear,
out.
Boom. Not out.
Back
fucking
the race?
Finish your race.
Wow.
Now, you're coming up on these guys, and they're fucking going around with fucking steam shooting out and transmission fluid leaving a slick, but they're still going. I mean, they're turning laps. Abso-fucking-lutely. You watch. We'll find it. You watch the last race. I think I won that one. Oh, yeah. The guy I passed to go into first place in the pro division slid out, went to the tire barrier, and just caved in his whole front end. He then backed his car out And he didn't limp into the pits. He finished a race with a fucking caved-in front end. These are just Japanese cars. They're just fucking bulletproof. You've seen these guys go on these police chases. They throw down a fucking tack strip. It blows out all four tires. The guy's just driving with sparks coming out of the rims down the fucking freeway. For miles. We're talking about pulling over 30 fucking feet to the right. But we can't do it.
Because we're busy with putting our
seatbelts on. Or we can turn right on a red. But we don't do it because we think it's fucking illegal. So I have to honk at everyone in this fucking city. Look, I'm now taking it a step further. I don't think the mayor, the mayors, the former mayor, the current mayor, the governor, lieutenant governor, whatever. I think they have disdain for the fucking people that live in this
city.
What
did he say?
Well, lieutenant governor.
No, Garcetti. What did Garcetti say?
Well, first off, the lieutenant governor of this state, it was news to him, thought it was a good idea. Yeah. And when I told him Idaho had it, he was surprised and thought, why do they have it? Yeah. He then went off to do nothing about it. And Garcetti was surprised, interested, and said he was going to do something. Again, there's nothing to do. Program it into the freeway signs and do it that afternoon. Just do it that afternoon. There's somebody sitting in downtown in a fucking master control bunker who you go, hey, instead of clicking her ticket or instead of 22 minutes to the Topanga off-ramp, here, type this in. The click at her ticket, type this in. That's as much
steers
as it...
Steers it clears. Boom.
That's as much as it takes. No, he's not going to do it. The other guy's not going to do it. The captain from the CHP, who was at this benefit thing I was doing, CHP guy came up to me with a certain amount of swagger, and he said, you know, it is the law. Like, oh, well, done and done. So he's wearing a fucking seatbelt. People don't... You understand? Yeah, I know it's a law. It's a law that no one knows. Like turning right on a red. Nobody knows it. So wake the fuck up. The fuck is wrong with you people? What's going wrong?
It's a lovely holiday message from Adam Carolla.
Oh, my God. It's just fucking sickening.
Tell me your cranberry story and we'll finish with that.
What the fuck? No, I want to know what you did.
The only thing of interest I can remember is...
I'm sorry. I'm taking this crash would have been about lap three of this race.
And Chris's memory says that it's 2012, not 2013. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll get
tell Chris and his memory to get the fuck out of here. No, this is this year. That's why I said this year.
Yeah.
And it's me passing the guy. There's crashes every year, and they're all horrible, and the people just end up racing anyway. But this year, I passed the guy to get into first place of the pro division. I think it was lap three, and he went sliding into the tire barrier hard, caved in the front end of his Scion, backed his Scion out, and continued racing.
Give me just a moment. I'll hold
okay,
it up.
Okay, we'll find it. Drew, tell me. Thanksgiving. You.
Huh?
What'd you
was
do?
I talking? Was I speaking?
What'd you do?
The only thing I can remember that
would your mom cook?
Yeah, yeah. But the only thing I remember that was kind of interesting is in the early 60s, probably well into the mid 60s, we would go to a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And that house for me was sort of the most madman-esque memory I had. The guy was an insurance salesman,
yeah,
chain smoker,
uh-huh,
died of lung cancer. Cottage cheese on the ceiling,
mm-hmm,
a lot of gold sparkle, mm-hmm, everywhere on all the surfaces, and
huge
on the,
lighters everywhere,
lighters and giant ashtrays that had like little these weird spinny. You've never seen anything like
a lot of this. All right, you can watch with this Japanese car. It's me and Matt DeAndre talking about the guy, but this is from CarCast. But I go in. And he goes outside, and his name's Andy Bell, and he plowed hard into the tires. Now, I think this is just what we need is the actual race footage. This is our in-car camera stuff. We need to try to find the actual race, which was broadcast. I don't know if you can find that. But he just went straight and plowed in, and they're like, oh, his car's not going to make it. And then it's like, oh, he backed it out, and nope, he drove it off. You can probably find it online somewhere. Yeah, Gary will find it. So you went to the Madman House.
Yeah, and I just remember a lot of women running around, a lot of peas, a lot of jellied cranberry sauce, not really cranberry sauce. And to me, it was sort of it spoke so loudly about that 10 or 15 year period of history where we just became enamored with shit. As a country, we just decided jellied cranberry is cool. We decided sparkles are cool.
Gelatin molds were a big deal.
Gelatin molds, yeah. There was gelatin mold with fruit suspended in it.
Oh yeah.
But we just made these things like we sort of anointed them in a weird way. You know, there was this like, oh no, this we are being cool.
Yes,
we are participating in the modern bounty. You know what I mean? And it was just all just never made sense to me. And all that crazy sort of Henry Mancini music playing in the background.
Yeah. But I did – I like the points of pride, which is like a woman got a new Jell-O mold and it was kind of a big deal.
There's a lot of excitement about that shitty stuff though. I mean even as a 7-year-old I knew it was all shitty.
Yeah, no, but it's all shitty. I mean, I was sitting with my daughter this morning. She'd bought some sort of loom-type device where she was using rubber bands to make herself a bracelet. It's worth nothing. I'm sure she'll get skin cancer from it one day. But when she was done with it and put it on her wrist and presented it to me, it was a big deal for her.
Yeah.
You know, I made this. Yeah. You know, it's the thing that you and I sort of the drum that we keep beating is I know it's worth nothing. It's all worth nothing. I mean, we're all just going to be dead. Enjoy your holidays.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Just like those pilgrims died so many years ago. No, it's all, you know, eventually the Empire State Building will be nothing. Mm-hmm. It'll all be nothing. It's a sort of scale of nothing, but it's all nothing. But it means something. Like my daughter said, hey, I made this.
And that shared experience is meaning.
Yeah, there was a lot of pride in her eyes when she showed it to me. And like
joy.
I said, Mad Men days, the wife got the new Jell-O mold. It was shaped like a fish.
She put some grapes in there.
She felt good.
It felt flawed. It felt empty. It felt in – it always felt –
not for her. Not for
but
when,
as a kid
when,
watching
when
it,
she
though.
Quiet. I don't give a fuck about you and your
no,
kid.
But there was something weird
when
about
she
it.
Popped that fish mold
and
that thing came out perfectly and the grapes were all suspended in space.
It wasn't fish, it was like a bunt thing.
No,
it was a bunt. They were different molds.
Stop shitting on every fucking point. They had 1,000 different, you know, they probably had a Christmas tree mold.
I just never saw a fish one.
For the Jews. The point is when the grapes, you know, there was a thing where if you lifted the mold and it stuck a little and it tore the top off, the chick was pissed.
Yep.
And then when she presented it, there was a couple of oohs and a couple of ahs, and then they were passed. And I'm sure the guys were out smoking, drinking brandy, making fun of her 10 minutes later. But that moment when she came out holding the tray, it meant something to her.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. That's all. That's all I'm saying. All right, Gary. We'll find this for next one. It was, like I said, it was this year, and it was broadcast. But I don't know if that means it ends up on YouTube.
Let's do cranberry in the post Thanksgiving show because we're going to have a show.
Well, what they can do is they can go listen to my show and get the Adam Carolla show. Today's episode will have the cranberry recipe on it. So enjoy,
Gary. You've heard the cranberry story enough now that retelling it is not exciting for you.
Never enough.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
I'm
enough.
The one who put the note there.
He's
reminding
trained.
People. Come
He's
on.
Trained, baby. All right. So until next time, Sam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, Gary Haftar saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.